and seek. You know what I mean? I'm no bird.
Look at you with the Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose. This is my friend Bob bringing out the soul in me today. Go on, Bob.
My friend, I just ain't there. You oughta feel like a lady. The best you can do, you gotta treat her like a lady. She's giving to you, Lord, who can sing? You know what I mean.
Treat her like a lady, she's giving to you is what the lyrics were to that one, gentlemen. Of course, that'd have to happen after International Women's Day. You couldn't run that song
yesterday. That's right, yeah.
Couldn't get that one past anybody. 22 minutes after 7. Tom, I see you. I just wanted to defer to the good Senator Therese Terlahi. This is your maiden voyage on the radio with me. I'm so excited. Good morning, Senator Terlahi.
Good morning. Good morning, Patty.
It's nice to finally get you on the air with me. Thanks so much for taking our call this morning.
Well, thank you.
How do you like your new job? Is it weird for you to be, you know, like in the inside, like at the desk, as opposed to, you know, in the perimeter?
Of course, it's totally different.
Yeah,
but I'm enjoying it. I mean, you know, I've watched them for so many years.
Yeah,
right. And I ran because I wanted to be able to have. To voice my opinion,
yeah.
And what I thought would be, you know, representative of more of the people. And so I'm happy to be doing that. That,
yeah.
I have to say, is very satisfying.
It is, because all of the, on the side, I would be like you, sitting on the sidelines wanting to, hey, put me in, coach, I got something to say. But not having a place at the table. So that's, when you first heard your voice on that microphone, sitting in that famous chair at that desk inside this incredibly historic building, was there like a moment there where you had to sort of take it in?
Yes, I mean, the whole time. I mean, the first session, I have to say, was really incredible.
Yeah.
And I think, if I may bring her name in, Senator Nelson, at the end of the very first day of session,
mm-hmm.
when we turned off the microphones, yelled out, "That was fun!" And it was. It was pretty exhilarating because we were so nervous. And then when we finally, you know, did what we came there to do, it felt great to...
Yeah.
To be doing that. Yes.
Was yesterday, I know that you had tried to introduce this resolution, and then you were called back by the rules center, the rules senator. Was that just a procedural situation, or what was that about? Was there any contention, or was it just a procedural thing?
It was a very unusual situation. We had already finished the agenda, but I had proposed to my colleagues pretty much of the moment that they consider two additional resolutions. So, yeah, it was a surprise to them, and it was a surprise to me, because to tell you the truth, I only found out about the Department of Justice letter to the governor from the news that morning. And I finally got my hands on the letter about an hour before we went into session, and then quickly drafted a resolution. I mean, I talked to the Attorney General and Governor's Council, I just wanted, so one of the resolutions was, and so both of them were really, you know, they were under time constraints. We were told our next session would not be until April, and I just thought that would be too late to address these two matters. As you know, the appeal for the Davis case will, you know, be made probably in the next 30 days, and the decision to do that or not, as you've heard the AG and the you know, say, should probably make that in the next few days, and then you have to work on it.
Mm.
And so I just wanted, one resolution was strictly just to say that the legislature supports the appeal, that if she decided to appeal, we would support her. And I thought that would be important for the community to know and to feel that we're all together in this, right? And so that's
okay.
Why I thought it should be passed as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the speaker has promised us to call us back to session to address these two resolutions after a public hearing. So we have to have 5 days' notice for a public hearing. So we've set the hearing for March 17 at 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, if we decide to go forward, the speaker will call us into session and we can...
You'll do a special session.
Well, we don't call it special session, only the governor calls it.
Oh, that's right. That's true, true.
Session,
yes. Okay, he'll call you into session.
Another session, yes.
He'll call you into session for another session for March. You'll have a second March
correct.
Session?
Okay. Yes, yes. And
okay.
Yeah, and pretty much it's just, it was just to show solidarity in an
okay.
appeal.
Well,
and,
are we correct in assuming that if the legislature stands behind an appeal to that decision, that it is also backing it up with additional funding? Because if we're going all the way to the Supreme Court on this one, it sounds like a really expensive venture.
Oh, well, normally the AG uses the attorneys that are on staff. She has on staff attorneys. I don't know.
I guess the question is whether you can draw the conclusion that by a legislative resolution in support also can translate into additional funding if needed or requested.
Well, I think if it's needed, I would support that. But
okay.
I don't know that. Yeah.
But it's not a big.
I don't remember her asking for additional funds for the original.
Okay. So this is not
case.
The okay.
Yes.
It's just the sentiment is what I guess is what I'm asking
yes.
whether or not
yes.
that translates into more money because
oh.
you know. Okay, and then the second one. This was the
yeah.
DOJ letter that you just saw yesterday.
Correct. And
yeah.
So as you saw, that letter was sent in January. Mm-hmm. And so I was alarmed that they were threatening to sue. They want an injunction. They want to stop the Chamorro Land Trust from proceeding. And we knew nothing about that. And so I guess the letter was sent to the governor. Governor and the AG have been in discussions with Department of Justice, according to the AG and Arthur Clark. So I'm glad about that. And they've got some time to respond. But I just, again, wanted to show solidarity that if I agree with the governor's statements that about defending the Chamorro Land Trust,
mm-hmm.
that act was intended to remedy injustices from past land takings and other issues on Guam, and so I hope that they will defend that, and I hope that we will not. And then the other one was, you know, the Department of Justice is threatening they want them to enter into a consent decree. I think there's a lot of pressure on them to enter into a consent decree. And so it was just to, again, urge them not to enter into a consent decree and to fight it, and that if they did, we support them.
Oh, okay. So this is not to run it by the legislature. The consent decree doesn't need the legislature stamp of approval.
No, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah,
the resolution does ask that that they not enter into any consent decree without the approval of the governor and the legislature. And this is similar to a law that we have on the books right now that says that the government agencies or any other entity in the government not enter into any settlement.
Oh, independent of, okay, like in the yes. case of mental health or in the case of the
right.
Department of Corrections.
Correct. You remember, Patty, our experience with these consent decrees is the government finds out later,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, the rest of the government finds out later, and we're bound to them.
Right.
Already.
Okay.
Without the resources to take care of the promises that were made in those consent decrees.
Why would you put it in resolution form?
It was just because it looks to me from the urgency in the Department of Justice letter that they need to act soon, and so
you don't think you could push a bill through quick enough.
Oh, a bill?
Probably not. I mean, if they were giving a January 31st deadline or something like that, and no one knows whether or not we actually responded to it, then it sounds like that they would, by reason of, you know, non-communication, they would have enough motivation or be compelled to move rather quickly on it. And so in that case, you would not have any time to put together a bill or some other policy that says that no agency should, you know, enter into a consent decree agreement with the federal government without the say-so of the government of Guam.
Well, we already have that statute on the books now, that there's a law that exists. And so this was, again, just really to show some timely unity, you know, between the legislature and the governor and the AG if they decide, I mean, you know, in support of the land trust.
So was that bill, would that become enacted after the latest consent decrees that were put upon mental health and corrections? Okay. All right. So that was probably the reason that that bill was made,
that
public law.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Huge obligations for the government.
Okay. So your public hearing March 16th, that's next week Friday.
March 17, 9 a.m.
17, sorry, 9 a.m. Okay. Can I just add, the reason I had been trying to get a hold of you in the past month was I wanted to ask you specifically about that measure that was the measure that I think Anita Areola helped to craft about parole and some of the stipulations, making it a little bit difficult for those seeking parole to do so on a yearly basis. I know you guys had a sit-down with Attorney Areola and some of the members of Jan Rubenstein's family.
I've also been talking to other families who go up for parole hearings quite regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And, so the measure that we are looking at introducing, I will send you a copy as soon as it's final, but it's it does a couple things. One of them is to change the number of members on the parole board so they can actually get a quorum easier and make their decisions without these families coming back repeatedly, waiting for a quorum.
Okay.
That's one. And the second one would be to, for those people who have, right now the parole statute says if you're up for parole, then you can, and you're denied, you can be considered every year, or reconsidered every year. And so this bill would say if you've been denied twice, so 2 years in a row, then the parole board may put off your reconsideration for 5 years.
Okay, so there's a moratorium for like 5 years.
Yes.
Okay, and then was there another moratorium past a certain time after that or no?
So, no.
Okay. Oh, and then have access? Was there also a point about having access to the prisoner's records from the DOC?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's something that people who, when they advocate against parole, I guess they're not able to see the records that have been submitted in favor of the parole.
Okay.
So they're not, you know, on both sides, I guess they're not sure what they're arguing against. And so that's
okay. That sounds fair. That sounds fair enough. Well, actually, that tightens up some of the loose, you know, rules around people getting out of prison and then the amount of time that the families have to go every single year and before the parole board with the same argument. That takes away a lot of that stress. Well, I look forward to the bill. I look forward to looking at it once you're done with it, Senator. Thank you so much.
But, you know, Patty, I have to say I was actually surprised. I thought I wasn't aware until I was working on this bill that those who have been convicted of murder even can be eligible for parole.
Every year, yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I had known that because I've known families for many years who have been going back. I just thought there was something in their sentence that, you know,
that allowed them to come
that.
Yeah.
Right, but no, it's in our statute.
Yeah.
So, but,
okay.
Yeah. There's something else I may bring up while we're on the air. I'm also having a public hearing at 5:30 on the, I think it's the 14th, regarding the PARS resolution. It's called the radiation, the downwind.
Oh, yeah, downwinders, yeah.
Yes, and so in Congress, they've introduced a bill in the Senate, they've introduced a bill to support the, including Guam as a downwind area for radiation.
Right.
And so right now they already have a RECA program, which has been, it's a huge trust fund. They've been doling out the money, and we're just hoping that when Guam gets included, that we'd be able to make our claims as very quickly.
Okay.
And
so what's
the bill that's been introduced in the Senate actually extends the deadline now for 19 more years for them to make their claims. And so this is for people who lived on Guam for a certain period, I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me, but a certain period right after the testing in the Marshall Islands, when the down
after the bomb went off. Okay. So what?
All the testing that they did for several years. Yeah. So the radiation, moved over to Guam, and they had evidence of that. And Guam did an excellent job of proving that that actually occurred, mm-hmm. and that there was evidence of it. So, that hard part has been done, and now it's really just a matter of And every year that Congress has brought this type of a bill forward, they've included Guam. They've been generous enough to include Guam, and so it seems like it's very well recognized that Guam should be covered. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping this is another way for those people who have got cancer, or there's a whole list of types of cancers that are covered by this. So if you're diagnosed, then it's automatic. If you're diagnosed with cancer and you were here during that time period right after the testing, mm-hmm. then you're
automatically covered. Okay. The public hearing is when?
Okay, just let me look.
You said March 14th, and is there a particular bill or something that, or is that
yes,
just
there's a resolution.
This
is for one of my resolutions. It's another one of my resolutions, and then just give me one second. And I want to be exact here.
All right, no problem. Mike, hang on with the traffic. Kathy, I see you. Tom, about the Village Fiestas, we'll get to you in a second. I want to clear this up because I know that there are a lot of people that will fall under this Radiation Exposure Compensation Act.
It's really going to be great if we can get this, because it's going to, the fund's there. We
mm-hmm.
don't have to beg Congress for any money. There's money already in that fund.
Can you appear, or can a claimant be on behalf of somebody who's already passed away?
Survivors, I'm not sure about that.
Okay, all right.
Not on this one. On the atomic veterans, yes.
Okay.
Okay, so the resolution number is 39.
Okay.
And the hearing is on March 14 at 5:30.
Got it. Okay, great. Senator, I'm going to have to let you go because I've got traffic and people are dying in traffic today.
Okay.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. We'll touch base again before next week.
All right, thank you very much.
It's nice to have spoken with you.